You are now tuned into This Korean Life with your hosts, Brian and Nate.
All right, welcome back to another episode of This Korean Life, number 116, featuring Raymond Watt. Very nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yes, here early on a Sunday. Nate came and shook you out of bed.
It's okay. Like, my body still naturally wakes up pretty early.
Yeah, cool.
And I got moved here like a month and a half ago, but I figured, you know what? Going to bed early and waking up early, it's good when you have a job where you have to work all day, you know?
I agree. I'm an early bird myself.
It's good for your whole system, man.
I can't say it was that way in Taiwan. Like in Taiwan, I worked from like 1 to 9.
Ooh.
Like 1 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Sure.
And I would go to bed at like 2 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, need that unwinding after work, right? My first contract here too finished at 10. And it was you're not getting to bed before midnight. No. There's no way.
Yeah. But now I'm working Dolly Parton hours, 9 to 5.
Oh, that's a Dolly Parton hours?
I've well, never 9 heard to 6 actually, but yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool. And you're at a kindergarten, I assume?
Well, a kindergarten, like kind of an elementary school thing.
Cool.
Like, the kids aren't too young, not too old.
Very nice. Awesome.
The reason I reached out to you originally was I saw you were new when you started infiltrating my feed with all these posts were coming up and on Ulsan Online. And then I was like, who is this guy? Wow.
Nice.
And you checked out more shit in 1 month than I think most people do in 2 years or 3 years.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
And I said that I just love the kind of passion for life, or you came here with a mission and you were going to, you know, not wait and hold back. I know you came from a few years in Taiwan there, but maybe... And you didn't work as soon as you got here, right? You had a couple of weeks
to get settled. Kind of. It was sort of like training.
Okay. Maybe take us through your first impressions of the city or...
Well, I mean, I actually had been to Korea before. Like, when I lived in Taiwan for Chinese New Year, I spent the week in Seoul. But this is my first time in, like, southern South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the impression I got of Seoul is that it's literally the coldest I've ever been. I mean, I can't imagine Canada in the winter is as cold as Seoul in the winter.
How cold is it in Maryland?
I mean, it's like hot in the summer, cold in the winter. We have four seasons, but not always in that order.
That sounds like the Wilsonites. We get four seasons. No, they got hot and hotter.
I'm looking forward to it when it's hot.
I'm
used to hot and humid, you know? Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Whoa, dude, be careful what you wish for.
I lived in like southern Taiwan in the summer.
Okay.
I can imagine quite a bit.
It gets pretty greasy over here.
But I can imagine quite a bit. I've been to Bangkok, which Bangkok's a city, no matter what time of the year, it's going to be really hot.
Sure.
It's pretty much on the equator.
Yeah.
I was in Africa for a while and over Asia.
Oh, nice. Like, where in Africa?
The humidity here. Yeah, I was working in a refugee camp in Ghana on the Ivorian border, and then
that's interesting. Were you in the Peace Corps? Or?
No, not Canada doesn't have Peace Corps.
Oh, of course.
And then back,
of course,
backpacked all over the West.
That's the funniest part, though, dude, about the heat here. We interviewed some Ghanaian students. They were like, you know, in Canada, colloquially, you'll say, oh, it's Africa hot. And they're like, dude, it's not this hot in Africa.
No.
Oh, my God.
It's suffocating. I've had it a bit in Japan. Sometimes, but...
Yeah, it was hot in Japan. In Osaka, I was there in, like, August, and yeah, it was pretty hot. Like, I was visiting, like, Himeji Castle. Like, it was, like, late August. Like, Himeji Castle, like, everyone kept advertising, hey, drink some water, buy water, because it gets really hot.
Yeah. I was getting my visa one time after... In Japan, you'd go for an overnight.
Yeah.
They'd stamp your visa, and you come back. But I remember walking up the subway stairs and thinking, at 22 years old, like, I could collapse and die. it was a heavy night of drinking and no water. Like, must make it to the embassy.
So it's funny, like, I've never been to the Philippines, but my friend at the time, like, invited me to go to a concert in Manila. I said thanks, but I'm probably gonna be busy. And when they went to that concert, it was like one of those things where you buy a ticket, you can get in, but you can't go out, right? And it was like in the humid Filipino air, right?
Yeah.
And you can't leave. Then they would keep serving this really awful Filipino beer, but they didn't have any water.
Oh, no.
Did you come to Metallica?
No, I was going to say
Metallica and Tool in Seoul.
Oh, I love Tool.
Do
you think Tool will come back to Seoul?
I don't know.
My brother just saw him recently.
AJ, Jeffy, whoever else was on that one.
I love Tool's one of my favorite bands.
Have
you seen him live?
No. I've only been to like one legit concert in my life, and that was in Taiwan. I saw Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. I saw your picture there.
Yeah. We went up to that one, and we were around the stadium, And holy shit, the basketball stadium was open. It was at Olympic Stadium. And the basketball stadium was, or arena was open. And we walked in, and it was the freaking Dream Team playing.
Oh, my goodness.
An exhibition game before the Olympics in...
Wow, that's crazy.
China. No, China? Somewhere... Not China. That was just recently. Dude. Somewhere around... We were in Asia. So, whatever the Olympic... They were doing their pre-tournament warm-up games in Seoul.
You mean the American team?
Yeah, the American Dream Team.
Well, didn't Beijing have, like, the Winter Olympics this year?
Dude, the Dream Team's Michael Jordan and...
Well, yeah, well, whatever. 2000... Whatever. Right. Six Dream Team. And we went in there and sat down for 20 minutes, got up, there was a puddle in my seat. And then we went to Metallica, and it was like that. They let you in, you can't get out. You got the beers, and people were passing out. It was
not. I feel like that thing would be illegal in America. To like just have served nothing but beer, but no water. If it's not illegal, like, I'm very libertarian, but I feel like that's one of those things where that should be a law. Like, if you're going to serve alcohol, you have to serve water as well.
Sure. Well, you see in some of the big outdoor concerts, too, where they get too hot and they just bring out the fire hoses just start crushing
at
people.
At home, they have that all the time.
Like Woodstock 99 kind of thing.
Oh, have you seen Trainwreck?
Oh, the movie with Amy Schumer?
No, sorry. I think it's called Trainwreck.
No,
and
the documentary.
The documentary.
I saw the Netflix 3-part documentary.
Yeah. That was, I mean. Wild. Yeah. I saw that from... Well, I mean, I remember watching that as a middle schooler.
And it kind of ruined Woodstock's legacy. Like, there's not going to be... Yeah. You know, honestly, though, the Woodstock in 69, my guess is a lot of that shit went on in the original one as well. Like, I haven't filmed the 69 Woodstock. There's a lot of, like, crimes and everything.
People were more chilled out. Dying.
Zero hygienic standards. Like, I imagine the 69 Woodstock probably wasn't all that was made up to be.
I don't know if there's like a slide of, or like a mud waterfall of shit that people were willingly jumping into. it was gross. And they oversold that, and there was not enough food. Like,
at least it happened, unlike the Fire Festival.
We criticized the F1 for being kind of unprepared here. Because they didn't have nice established restaurants and stuff like that.
It wasn't prepared. It was horrible.
It was thrown together. But, I mean, at least they had, like, sanitary bathrooms and enough food. I mean, it was convenience store hamburgers. But ready. It was convenience store hamburgers, but at least they had food to feed you, man. The Woodstock 99 was brutal.
I mean, the Guns N' Roses concert I went to was nice. Like, they actually started performing like maybe 10 minutes after the concert. Because I know Guns N' Roses in their heyday, they've been infamous for like showing up hours late.
Sure.
So it's probably good I didn't see them at their prime.
Yes, absolutely. That was just recently, no? That was a couple of years
ago. Oh, that was like 2018.
2018? I thought they might have. Oh, no, they played in.
I saw
Zach, he went to Guns N' Roses. Maybe that was
It was Bangkok. In their Not In This Lifetime tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, like Axl actually did a nice cover of Black Hole Sun.
No way.
Yeah, he did. It was like maybe a couple years after Chris Cornell died.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Tip of the hat to Soundgarden.
Yep.
Beautiful. Another, you like them too, I guess.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah. I like those guys. I like them.
We can get into lots of movies and music and stuff in a minute.
Oh, for sure.
You were in. You came for a Chinese New Year's or something, but you've never been down here?
No, not down south,
so,
no.
This is called the countryside. I mean, where I'm from, this is like New York, but the Koreans think this is like the...
Yeah, no, I completely hear you. Like, the country. Ulsan has like a little over a million people. That's not very big by Asia standards.
No.
Like, China has like 50 cities that are over a million people.
But in Canada, that's a huge metropolis.
I mean, I grew up near Baltimore. That has like 500,000 people. Yeah. And that's considered, maybe not really that big of a city, but it is considered a city.
So what did you think when you got down here?
Well, it's kind of an adjustment. Like, very hilly, of course.
Yeah.
Like, even if scooter culture existed, it may not have been desirable to have one. Like,
that's why there's no bikes here.
I mean, I kind of want a scooter for nostalgia, because I've always had my driver's license, my American driver's license, but I've never gotten any confidence driving a car by myself. But in Taiwan, I taught myself how to drive a scooter.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of independence, you know?
You never had an accident over there?
I mean, I've fallen off my scooter a few times, but no real accidents.
Yeah, the beer-related falls.
No beer related.
For the record, it was not beer related. Yes. Yeah, I had a bike over here, but I
showed him going on top where you crashed.
I don't even know how to ride a normal bike, but I taught myself how to drive a scooter.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of weird.
That's all
right. I feel like that's kind of a thing you got to do in Asia, is at least rent the scooters in the tourist places or whatever, or buy one if you're living here, but. Every country in Asia you go to, the scooter is a a mainstay.
Was it necessary to have a scooter? Kind of in
it kind of was. I mean, yeah. I didn't technically need it, but to get around it, yeah, it kind of was.
That's, I mean, that was the reason I had mine too. Is just if you got to get between classes and rush hour, you're screwed. So I just had.
I'm at school. Like I walk like 15 minutes to work.
Oh, now, yeah, now. Oh, cool, beautiful.
And I don't know, maybe you can speak to the public transport system, but in Korea here, it's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
The buses
are pretty nice.
Taxis are reasonable.
I never liked taking the bus in Taiwan, but here I kind of swallowed my pride and started taking buses again.
Mm. I mean, I've taken the bus maybe 5 times in Canada, but here you get on and there's Gucci and Louis Vuitton, and you're like, whoa. Who rides the buses here? It's very, very different than...
Even the cabs aren't super expensive.
No.
You were in Japan, weren't you?
Oh, Taiwan.
Oh, Taiwan, yeah.
I've been to Japan a couple times, but no, I was in Taiwan.
Christ, anything compared to... I remember going to Japan the same time I was died of dehydration there. And jumping in a cab and going like, oh, it's like $8 to start. Oh my God, what are we doing here? Yeah, that was wild. That was 17 years ago.
Yeah, in fact, I got my train of thought back up.
Yeah.
When I do stand-up comedy here, I think one of my opening lines is going to be, I've lived in Taiwan for 9 years, but I decided to leave the country because my parents really don't want me to live in a country on the other side of the world that's constantly being threatened by a nearby communist regime. So I moved to Korea instead.
Yeah, very nice. Oh, you got that. Is that next? No, on the 8th? April 8th?
8th, yeah. I'd like to know the exact dates. Cause...
It'll be the... Yeah, that's Saturday, I guess. I might come out and watch that.
Oh, yeah, you should. I want to advertise.
Have you done stand-up before?
Oh, yes. And in my last few years living in Taiwan, I do stand-up comedy.
No way.
Regularly?
Yeah, well, regularly. Like when there's an open mic.
Open mic?
Oh, that's
beautiful. I think there's maybe a couple times when I was paid to do it, but for the most part, it was just open mic.
Oh, beautiful.
What is what kind of material do you... Can you give us any?
Oh, like observational, some like dark humor, offensive humor. Like, I try to have a balance, like, corny dad jokes you can tell the whole family to like the John Waters stuff, you know? So try to have like a nice balance, you know?
Okay.
Like if I were to organize my jokes, it'd be like Dante's Inferno, like start off with like the family friendly stuff, but then it gets darker and darker and darker.
Nothing makes me happier.
You need a balance between clean and dirty comedy.
Sure. Even just the comedy, the other, like especially for open mics and stuff here, I like watching the crowd's reaction. Because you never know, you don't know who the heck you're going to get, right? I mean, you don't know who's going to show up to these things, so.
I remember going
to one. It's trial and error, you know?
Yeah.
The comedy really is trial and error. Like, there was this one joke that I was really, really proud of, but I was never able to get laughs of it in stand-up comedy routines. Like, I did this one bit where I was talking about how many versions of Monopoly there were, and I was like, what if they did a game of Monopoly based on the OJ trial?
Yeah.
Like, think about it. You can play as the Bronco, the glove, the knife, the Heisman Trophy, the football. Your NFL pension would be passing go.
I like it. I like it. I think that's
like,
clever.
Like if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. That'd be like your get out of jail free card.
Sure.
like say you land on like Community Chess or Chance. You say, be in a naked gun movie. Collect $20.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So, the cop made a racist comment. Here's his get out of jail free card.
Sure.
Stuff like that, you know?
You owe
the Goldman's money. Pay up.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Like stuff like that.
Although
I still need to figure out what the properties would be. That's the one part of the game that's still kind of...
No, just do rooms in his house.
Oh, rooms in his house. All right, sounds good. Yeah,
the bed. The
board Sean, or...
Between Sean and Patrick, yeah, they managed to put on some good nights. And lots of different variation. And it's fun. We've been to a few recent whatever.
I watched one at Royal Anchor years ago, dude. I was pretty wasted, but I was crying. This guy, dude... Was it the Thai king die?
I think he got exiled. He was under.
Really?
Under a lot of.
This was years ago about the Thai. Something happened with the Thai king.
They all protested and called for him to step down. And it's still, I think that since then, it's still been kind of.
Dude, this guy came up like right in the middle.
I know, I've been to Bangkok like a few years ago for Chinese New Year. Like in Taiwan, except for the COVID years, like during Chinese New Year, I'd always leave the country. And one year it was Thailand. It seemed like a nice place, but there's like a huge cult of personality around their king.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Images of the king are everywhere, like far more than like Queen Elizabeth wasn't in the UK.
Sure, yeah.
They all wear the king's shirts there to work.
Yeah.
They all get those gold shirts on every Friday or whatever. The whole country wears gold shirts. Lots of different smaller communities here for all kinds of different hobbies and outlets and stuff. And you seem like the guy that'll go out and find them. So I try and encourage other people to take action and take initiative and go out and find and create and whatever. But
you've done quite a bit since you've come to Ulsan.
Oh, yeah. I can't say I've seen everything Ulsan has to offer, but I've been to, like, Busan and Gyeongju. Like, I was in Gyeongju yesterday, in fact.
Yeah.
But I was a little annoyed because I think I accidentally went there before the cherry blossoms. Like, I thought they'd be up today, but...
Well, I mean, at least you got there. If you try and go there during cherry blossoms, you can just ride your bike from here. You'll get there quicker than
getting there. I mean, Gyeongju, like, it's a beautiful place, but all the sites are, like, very far away. Like, you need, like a 40-minute bus ride to get from one place to another. Like, it's all spread out and everything.
What did you do?
Oh, I took the bus.
No. Sorry, sir. I mean, what did you do in Gyeongju? I saw you visited
I saw the Seokgoram, like, on the mountain. I walked down to the Bulgaga.
Yeah.
I know I mispronounced the names, but...
Seokgoram.
Seokgoram, yeah.
That's probably the hardest one to get to,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I had the bright idea to take a cab there, which costs, like, the equivalent of 50 US dollars, but I guess you live and learn. And I thought I was going to get sick, like the cab ride up to the top,
All the way up the mountain, I guess. But it's a spectacular view.
Oh, it's a great view, yes.
Did you pay a dollar and smash that big bell?
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't realize I had to pay a dollar.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. But I had a nice walk down the mountain to the... That's nice because, like, the whole slope is down, which is very easy to walk.
Did you go to Bowman Lake?
Bowman Lake?
The lake resort. Kind of a big lake with a few hotels and a theme park.
Oh, I've not been there, no. But there's more sense to take another trip then.
Yeah.
You saw the tombs, yeah?
Yeah. They look like... They basically look like green hills you can go sledding down in the winter.
Yeah.
but apparently if you do, you get arrested for it.
An extreme golf course.
So, like, I guess like those tombs are just buried in those big...
The dudes are buried in there, yeah. You got some pictures of the belts and the crowns and stuff too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Kind of like the crown jewels, are they equivalent of that?
Yeah. I told my student the one of the kings was a wrestling champion. He's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "You didn't see his gold belt when you went there?"
I know that was like over 1,000 years ago too. It was like a kingdom that lasted 1,000 years as
crazy,
well.
Crazy, eh?
Yeah, that's crazy.
How did you end up coming to Korea?
Oh, well,
were you watching a lot too much BTS
I'm not really a big fan of K-pop.
What led you here?
Well, I was looking for places, other cities, because I like Taiwan, but I needed a change in my life. And it was like a Busan teachers group, because I thought Busan was an awesome city. So I did eventually settle for Ulsan.
Mm.
Because Ulsan's like pretty close to Busan.
But that was just researching online?
I was applying to Europe, applying to Japan, stuff like that.
So that's what I was wondering, if you applied to other places.
Yeah.
And how did you settle on Korea?
Well, I mean, it was the first one I got an offer from, and I've been to Korea before, and great food and everything.
Yeah.
I thought I'd make myself a good life here.
Yeah.
Do you, with 9 years experience, you didn't get many offers from Japan or Europe?
Well, I mean, I almost got a job back in like 2021 for GABA. It was cool. I was teaching adults. Like, I made it through like the first round, but in the end, I didn't get the job. But I can see myself applying again.
But hold on. Like, if anybody applies to Korea, I mean, it's not hard to get in here. I mean, I would think anybody with a degree that doesn't lie or bullshit and has their papers ready can come and get a job here still. And I remember when I applied 20-something years ago, I got offers from all over the world. And it took me a minute to filter them out and go, okay, half of these are bullshit. These are a little bit. But I thought there was more jobs in Japan or other places in Asia or even Europe.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I remember the first company I worked for was Shane English. And they have some Shanes in Korea. I saw some
advertisements. We interviewed the guy yesterday. We interviewed the franchise owner.
Yeah. Wow, that's a...
He was sitting in that seat.
Well, I guess that's based in Korea. Like, I thought it was a British company.
It is. Just they have branches in Japan and here.
But this guy was like the big kahuna and everything?
Mm.
Wow.
Well, he's the initial guy in Korea, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not far from where you work.
But get this. I applied for a job, Shane, in Japan because I'd worked there.
Yeah.
Apparently in Japan, they only accept people from the Commonwealth. And America's not Commonwealth. So.
Interesting.
It is what it is.
Huh.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. Now you don't get a lot of Americans, Canadians, Aussies, Brits, Kiwis here anymore. It used to be the majority. Now it's mostly South Africans.
Yeah, there's a huge disproportionate amount of South Africans. But Taiwan as well.
But that's because the cost of living has gone up and the salaries have been stagnant. But now a lot of them go to Vietnam, where the cost of living is much cheaper. The salaries are relatively similar. Nice. Or China. So that's why I was just wondering what the market's like. I have never tried to apply anywhere else, so I have no idea. I think the Middle East is still has a lot of jobs, but
I heard if you're in states like Saudi Arabia, you get a really, really, really astronomically great salary, but you can't drink alcohol for like a year.
Mm. No tax, too.
No tax, too.
Yeah.
No girls, too.
No, there is. If I've had buddies in, I think it was Saudi, but you can drink. There's places you can go and drink as long as you're not spilling into the street.
Yeah. I just thought
I kind of feel like the country of Saudi Arabia is responsible for all the problems of the world. I mean, I don't pretend to be an expert on geopolitics, but I feel like many of our problems can be traced to Saudi Arabia.
Live Golf? Is that Saudi or is that the UAE? I think it's Saudi.
I know some PGA Tours decided to join the Saudi League, like Phil Mickelson.
Right.
Apparently he's now persona non grata.
Wow. Yeah.
I just thought, with your experience, that you'd kind of have the pick of wherever kind of you wanted to go. But it's great you picked Ulsan.
Ulsan, yes. I would live in Japan. Probably like Kyushu, just because it's more south. I tend to be more for the tropical climates. I haven't been to Kyushu, but I have been to Okinawa. Mm. And that's a lot like Taiwan, with the climate and everything.
Yeah.
The good part here is it's kind of close to everything. Busan is right there. Like we can drive there 45 minutes from here. It's just straight on the highway. At the beach. Seoul's 2 hours on the train. I mean, yeah.
I think you can go to Fukuoka like 3 hours by ferry.
Not even.
Yeah.
Wow, nice. Yeah.
You bust.
I think I'd probably take the plane to Fukuoka just so I can show off the ticket. It would be like PUS to FUK.
Yeah.
That's what your ticket would say.
Yeah.
PUS, now FUK.
Yeah.
Just for the ticket, I'll take
somebody,
a plane there.
Somebody put one of those up.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Put one of those up not long ago, 6-8 months ago. And I went, wow, I never realized that. But the boat used to be the only option. Now with the discount airlines, it's reasonable to fly. But
well, now that COVID's kind of wound down a bit.
But before the boat was the only way. There wasn't any regular flights going in there, especially from here.
I'd still probably take a boat because, like, I don't know, like my main flight here, like I've flown on a plane so many times, I'm still not used to turbulence.
Oh, dude, I hadn't been on a plane in years because of COVID, and we went home in September, and that initial turbulence, I was like, we're gonna crash. I had super
Boeing
worry.
Another thing is that. I hate airline food. Airline food is every bit as bad as his reputation.
Yeah.
So most of the time, I'm just like not eats during the flight. And then when you get off the plane, like a 13-hour flight, I'm in like literal physical pain.
Yeah. Nah, food is shit. It punches up your guts pretty
hard. I just read Boeing, 8 international incidents in the last 10 days.
What do you mean?
Just they're nonstop.
What kind of incidents?
Since the door fell off in Alaska there.
Oh,
I mean, like
for the plane, the door of the plane.
Oh,
the stock lost $3 billion.
Oh, I thought you meant like,
killed a whistleblower, got shot in the head.
I think with American like planes and everything, there's like diversity requirements and everything. Like you're not picking people because they're the best for the job.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Oh yeah, I'm aware. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's like a causation thing, but still.
Yeah, that's a door fell off and someone. Shot themselves? What was the...
No, the whistleblower who came out and said, hey, there's all these problems now, not hiring the right people for the jobs. You got hedge funds in charge of, you know, major decisions instead of guys who should be.
Uh-huh.
And they found him dead with a solo gunshot wound to the head 2 days later. So that doesn't bode well for him.
Suicided.
But I saw they just hired the head of the Navy to come in and clean house and get shit back in order.
No way.
Wild. Yeah, I don't want to be on a Boeing flight in the near future.
That's anyways. All Boeing planes?
Yeah, it's all Boeing. Anyway, so when you decide you're leaving Taiwan, you just pack up 2 suitcases and rip over here?
Well, actually, funny thing, because I had saved enough money and I figured, you know what, might as well treat myself to a vacation. Like, I spent 2 months back home in Baltimore with my parents and everything. And before that, I spent like a week in Paris.
Oh, I saw some
very nice. Pictures.
Yeah, I even spent a weekend in London because my other cousin lives in Ireland, so we kind of like met halfway. Well,
I got a cousin in Ireland too.
So I met in London. Like I've been to London before, but there's a lot of stuff I didn't see. So I saw the Tower of London. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
It's funny, but looking back at all the places I've been to, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been to London, didn't I?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I've just been to so many.
So you were coming right from the States then when you came here?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Moving's not easy. You have to say goodbye to some things, obviously, when you're moving from countries.
Well, yeah, some of my books. Like, I collected a lot of books. I mean, I treasure my books, but the fact is I don't read a lot of them, so...
You can take any of these if you want.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. The only two books that I did bring with me are, like... One was that Cinema Speculation written by Quentin Tarantino, where he talks about movies from the 70s. Like,
okay.
Tarantino wrote a book, like, a few years ago.
Didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. He just talks about movies from the 70s. And the other one was made a few years ago. It was by the creators of Airplane, where they talk about the making of the movie.
Okay.
So they're both pretty good books to have.
Very nice. Is there anything that you initially brought from home that you still...
Well, my Blu-ray collection, of course.
Blu-ray, okay.
There's a whole separate thing for that.
Okay.
But there were minimal problems when they arrived, but that's good. Oh. I think there were a few cases where, like, the box kind of got torn up a little bit, but the movie still plays fine.
That's nice. The important part. But we'll get into that after. I don't want to.
Oh, yeah,
I don't want to jump into that too early. But
what inspires you, or what is the driving force between, you know, going to Shinsegae and the spa and the temple and the park and the culture village? And
well, I mean, like, Busan seems like an awesome city. It's like right on the water, and I haven't gone to hang on the beach yet because the weather was just too cold.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna stay there for like a nice day. Yeah. But like, once the weather gets nice, I'm probably going to spend like 2 weekends a month in Busan. Even get a hotel and everything.
Yeah.
And there's lots of stuff, like a range of accommodations down there too. You can find stuff pretty cheap to go hang out. And good food. That's one of my favorite things down there.
Great. When you were in Taiwan, were you gone every weekend all over the country? I mean, it's not a big country either, so there's lots of places you can visit.
I've lived in Taichung for like 6 years. Taichung... 7 years, and Kaohsiung 2 years. Taichung's like right in the middle, but Kaohsiung is like very deep south. But I'd still go to Taipei up north every once in a while. Like, they have a high speed rail and everything.
Mm, very nice.
They kind of like Japan and Korea has one.
Yeah.
So was this kind of a let's get all this stuff out of the way and then settle down and relax, or you think you're like this all the time?
Well, I mean, usually when you first arrive in a country, you do a lot of traveling. Then next time you don't do as much traveling unless there's like a big party or event you want to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we were when we got here. Every weekend we were somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Until we saw and figured out what's cool, what we like, and whatever else.
I was looking at your Facebook there, and you've been to a lot of places. You said London and Paris and all around Asia. What are the essential things you want to experience before leaving that gives you the sense of, like, I've been here?
Before leaving? Oh, that's a good question. Well, I've learned recently, like, I take thousands of pictures, but, I mean, taking pictures is fun, but, sometimes it's like, it does get a little repetitive after a while. I think when I went to Paris, the big moment when I realized, yeah, I've been there was when I went to a Moulin Rouge show. It was like a spur of the moment thing too. Like, I went there in person because I went to a cafe, the cafe where they filmed Amelie, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen the movie, but
no.
Anyway, I went out to the cafe, that Moulin Rouge place was right next door, and I said, you know what? They probably won't have it, but I'm going to ask them anyway. And it turns out they had one ticket left, so I got to see the show.
That's those spontaneous.
And like when I went to Budapest, I went to the spa, the Shishki Baths. I know I mispronounced the name, but like when you spend like a few hours there, like that's the moment when you know you've been there. Like I'd love to go back to Budapest, to be honest.
When you're in Budapest, do they say Budapest or Budapest?
That's a good. I think both are okay. My guess is that they probably pronounce it Budapest, but I think.
I was watching some stupid police drama, dude, and they go in like half of the characters half of the time say like Budapest, and then the next episode they'll be like, oh, it's Budapest, Budapest, Budapest.
Budapest is nice.
I saw the, I don't know what the building is, but it's like the main kind of golden lit up building. Maybe it's a nice view from
that's the Parliament building.
Oh, that's the Parliament building. Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen
that one with like the round dome on top. That's the Parliament building.
Yes.
Does McDonald's burgers have anything to do with your traveling? Do you try one? When I looked at your stuff, I thought two things. One was like that you hit some of the movie places, maybe that you've seen in movies or whatever. Yeah. That you
like
hit
the
those.
Cafe that filmed Amelie. That would be one. And like of all the movies that take place in Paris, it was John Wick 4 that maybe decided to actually go there. Like, I actually climbed up the steps and right before dawn too. Like, just like in the movie. That was really fun. The stairs at the Sacré-Cœur, that was really nice.
I got that a lot of your pictures, some of your pictures relate to stuff you've seen already in the movies and you kind of put them together.
Like Bruges is another great one.
Bruges.
It's one of my top five favorite movies of all time. And that eventually that eventually influenced my decision to go to Bruges.
Okay.
It was an absolutely beautiful place.
You've also been to Hobbiton.
Hobbiton, yes. Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
You're a big Tolkien fan?
Yeah, I like Lord of the Rings. Like, I wouldn't say I'm a fanboy, but I like the Lord of the Rings movies.
Sure.
I think I'm more of a Game of Thrones fan, but yeah. Lord of the Rings is good.
I got all of them out there if you want to reread them. Nice. I think I have multiple copies of each one. I haven't read any of them, but yeah. Yeah, I got them
right there. Yeah. I'm a big Game of Thrones fan as yeah. well.
Cool.
And like, House of Dragons is really good.
Yeah.
So I got those connections looking at your pictures. Like, he sees the movies. He's a movie guy, and he gets to go to all the places. It must be really cool to... Shit, this is where it was, man. This is awesome. And the other one I thought was... I don't know if the food one's on or off, but it seems like at least you give the McDonald's a try in each country and see if it's legit or not.
Well, when I went to Paris, I just went there and I got a Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
It was like Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
But they don't say...
Because I was going to say, I don't even know what a Royale is, but yeah.
Well, okay. They don't say Royale with cheese. They just say Royale cheese.
Okay.
And I thought... Yeah, and I thought Canadians use the metric system, so they don't... So do you use pounds in Canada?
We say quarter pounder. Not usually, but for McDonald's, you'd say a quarter pounder, right?
Well, you weigh yourself in pounds.
Yeah, you know what? When you go to the grocery store, too, if you're ordering something. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember the first time I left, like...
Gyms, too.
The first time I went to Asia, when I was 19 years old, and I studied abroad in Shanghai. Like, I knew they use, like, kilometers and stuff, but the biggest, like, culture shock was realizing that they actually use Celsius for temperature.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of a culture shock for me.
Like, yeah. The whole world uses it?
Yeah.
But, hey, if you've never left the States, it is a big culture shock.
I mean, like... I knew in, like, biology class or, like, science class or whatever that they use Celsius when it comes to, like,
right.
science.
Yeah. Mm.
But, yeah, I didn't realize that other countries use it for, like, the normal temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of a culture shock.
It's 30 today. Shit, I better get my coat. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's funny. I saw your pictures of Hobbiton there. I'm really jealous.
Well, Hobbiton's nice. Like,
I would love to go there.
It didn't become, like, a permanent tourist attraction until the Hobbit movies.
Okay.
It was, like... I think after Lord of the Rings, they turned it down, but then they rebuilt it for Hobbit, and they decided to just keep it there.
Yeah.
And he also got a beer at the Green Dragon. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The only downside is that you kind of have to follow the tour. You can't, like, spend all your time there.
Okay.
That was kind of a downside, but it was still a lot of fun.
Do you see any parallels with yourself and Bilbo in terms of adventure?
Bilbo. like I said, I like Lord of the Rings, but I'm not really a huge massive fanboy. Okay.
But just in terms of The Hobbit, I mean, his whole thing is adventure, self-discovery.
Adventure, of course. Yeah. But I can see myself using the rein a bit too long.
Yeah. I can see myself using that a bit too long. Where's Ray?
I can see the rein corrupting me, to be honest.
Absolutely.
How have you found the food here? How have you adapted? You mentioned before we started that you haven't taken to the kimchi yet. Using an acquired taste. But what about the rest of the stuff?
I mean, the barbecue's good. Like, there's a nice Korean fried chicken place right across from where I live. Like, me and my colleagues go there sometimes.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm going to try to get my other colleagues for this weekend, Friday night, to go to Texas Roadhouse because I got so excited when there's one there.
Over in the department store.
Yeah. In fact, I remember when I was in Taiwan, I was looking up Google Maps because I know people in Korea don't usually use Google Maps. And when I looked it up and I saw that, according to Google Maps, the only Texas Roadhouse was in Daegu.
Oh, okay. But,
so I am excited to find that they got...
There's what, one what does Texas Roadhouse mean to you? Because it used to be a place called VIPs, V-I-P-s, and it was a big buffet, and it was popular, but it's just a huge place. It's way too big to sustain.
Well,
and they left, and this Texas Roadhouse came. I've never heard of it.
That's nice.
Is there Outback in Canada?
Yeah.
There is?
Yeah, I mean, I know there is in Taiwan. There is in Korea, too, apparently.
Texas Roadhouse? Outback?
Yeah. Taiwan has Texas Roadhouse, so it's kind of like
Outback, a reminder. 10-minute walk from your house, man.
Yes.
But I wonder what... So we went there because someone had said they had a great tilapia or something. I was like, I wonder what kind of food they have there.
Texas then, Roadhouse, yeah, that's tilapia.
And then we went and, wow, I mean, yeah, you want a bit of a taste of... I mean, from Canada, but... It's got all the stuff that would be in those kind of restaurants at home. But what does it mean to you when you see something like that? What are you thinking of?
Just a nice little reminder of home, you know?
Mashed potatoes or?
I like mashed potatoes. Like the bread's really good. Like the chicken, like the chicken bits, like some barbecue sauce, some buffalo sauce. Mm. Yeah. It's delicious, you know?
I'm sad.
I'm very grateful for American cultural imperialism that we get all this great stuff, you know? All the world.
There are.
I think cultural imperialism is a good thing. Yeah. I mean, we owe our childhoods to Japanese cultural imperialism, like Nintendo and everything.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So now that we go, the kids usually, one of them will pick that for their birthday to go there, and they love the whatever they got, mac and cheese and whatever else. But it's they bring out a horse, and you get to yee-haw and eat peanuts and. So yeah, kind of nostalgic to go to those places. It really reminds me of home.
You a gamer too? You into Nintendo?
My thing is, like, I try to be, like, I had a Steam account for a while. Like, I might reactivate it in Korea.
Yeah.
Like, my dad really did not like video games, so I never like played it.
You'll never make money doing this. Damn it! Should have kept going.
I don't want to insult my dad. I love my dad more than anything. It's just he just never liked video games, so I never really got like a PlayStation or anything.
Yeah. I have a hard time. Well, I would love to buy a Nintendo Switch, but I can't.
I actually bought like a Nintendo Switch Lite.
Okay, is that just the handheld?
Okay, though. It plays like Super Mario Galaxy, which is not Galaxy, but Odyssey. Which
yeah,
is a lot
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. I just man, I like, can't like, dedicate the time to it.
I mean, like, also like Smash Brothers and Mario Kart.
Sure. Yeah.
Although when I played Mario Kart, I'm like, I am too good.
Yeah. That's weird. Well, it's because you haven't
played me. My last device was a Game Boy.
A Game Boy?
That was the last thing I bought.
Was it at least a Game Boy Color?
No.
My first video game thing of any time was a Game Boy Color. And I had my first game console that plugged the TV. That was a GameCube. Mm. I had like a Nintendo Wii back home.
Yeah. I bought the Sega Mega Drive. Do you know what that is? It comes loaded with 30 games.
With like Sonic and everything?
Dude, I just learned how to hack it, and I just put 100 new games on it. It's amazing.
Nice. When I think of Sega, the first thing I think of is Sonic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sega!
Yeah.
Have you been to the PC Bungs here?
PC what?
PC Bung? Computer? What,
PC room. Rooms?
No, I haven't. Tell me more.
You go there, and they got, like, supercharged computers, and you can play games like faster than you probably can at home. Like, the lags or whatever awesome. This is.
Like, can you get, like, your own account and everything?
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean...
The gaming chairs, some of them are, like, you feel like you're in a spaceship, probably. I mean, they're...
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Some of them are, like, professional gaming rooms. Like, they're wild.
Yes. Like, speaking of which, I never played the game, but I got a little excited that if you go to Busan, that's, like, a 1 or 2 hour ferry ride to Tsushima. Like, you can actually visit Dallas. Have you guys been there?
Nope.
What is it?
You can actually take a ferry to boot from Busan to the island of Tsushima in Japan.
Okay.
I just talked to Paul the other day, and I think there's a Korean embassy there, and he's going on a visa run there instead of going
to Fukuoka. Paul. Yeah. I got changed.
I thought you meant. Yeah, I think it's only an hour and a half or something on the ferry, and you go, they got a Korean embassy.
Funny. Oh, no way.
Like, speaking of that, like, I've been to Hong Kong 3 times. But 2 of them was because I was a dumbass with my Taiwan visa. Like, I accidentally overstayed or I forgot to renew it, so I had to go to Hong Kong.
Okay.
I mean, Hong Kong's nice, or at least it was back in the day, so.
Cool.
And I'd always do the same thing. I'd go to the Peak and eat at the Bubba Gump restaurant there.
Bubba Gump.
Yes. It's funny. I remember looking up where they have Bubba Gump restaurants in the world. Apparently, they have a lot of them in Colombia.
Huh.
Interesting.
That's really weird places.
What are your go-tos in the first month here in Korea? What have you taken to?
Well, the first thing I went to the pavilion on the river, the Taehwagong.
Yeah. Mm. The
bamboo forest, that was pretty nice. I still haven't been to the whale museum or the rock formations.
If you go to Jangsingpo, you can probably spend a whole day there. There's a little
lots of stuff.
There's a little, what's it called, too? A little art gallery.
Oh, dude. I love art.
It's really cool.
There's an old village from the 70s, what it was like in the 70s with all mock-ups and stuff. It's really cool. No, you can spend a day.
You like Vermeer, right?
Vermeer, of course, yes.
I saw your Girl to Pearl.
Girl to Pearl, yeah. I saw that. That was in The Hog. I went there back in like 2019.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
What about in terms of food? Is barbecue number one?
Oh, barbecue's pretty good. The chicken's really great. I love the chicken, but...
Do they have that in Taiwan? Is Korean chicken popular in Taiwan?
Oh, yeah, because they had that franchise restaurant, Nae Nae Chicken. I don't know if you've heard of
it.
Yeah, they have those in Korea.
That's a popular franchise here.
It is?
They have those in BHC, BBQ. But they have those in Taiwan, so... Huh. In fact, I used to live near one of them, so...
Mm. Cool.
I really love their tteokbokki.
That's the name of the chicken?
No, the tteokbokki, like the rice things. You put like the spicy sauce, like rice cake, sort of.
Oh, tteokbokki.
Okay,
I gotcha.
Tteokbokki. Have you had any wild or weird stuff here?
Oh, wild or weird
stuff? I'm sure there's lots in Taiwan, but have you had anything weird here yet?
I wouldn't say weird. I mean, everything I've eaten was edible.
Yeah. Did you try the bugs yet? The bundegi?
Oh, no, I haven't. Yeah. That's funny. I really should be learning Korean because I use Duolingo all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm watching a couple of TV shows, Shogun and Tokyo Vice. Both are amazing shows. And that inspired me to learn Japanese. And learning Japanese is just more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the Hangul, like... If you show me something in Korean, I can tell you what it says in Korean.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's about the extent of my knowledge on Korean.
Yeah, that's a good start. Well, I've been here a month, so.
You'll pick it up. You'll pick it up as you go. And there's lots of English words. Or it's spelled
taxi. Taxi. So.
Yep.
Coffee is coffee.
Papa John.
Terabijon.
Yeah, sure.
Computer. I think, I think in Japanese, it's like terabi. I think Japanese borrows a lot of words as well.
Well, there's no.
Duresu means dress.
Yeah.
I could say this in Japanese. Sorry, watashi no atarashi sumato desu.
Mm.
Like this is my new smartphone.
Oh, cool.
Like here's my new smartphone. That's what I just said.
Oh, cool. Japanese.
I couldn't do that in Korean.
No, it'll come. You'll hear people talk, and then it slowly starts making.
How many foreign coworkers at your school? is it big or small?
Oh yeah, it's pretty big. I mean more. I have quite a few, maybe like 6 or 7.
Okay,
that's a nice landing. That's how
if it's 1 or 2, then your Korean will start getting pretty good. But 6 or 7, you can kind of keep one foot in both sides. Exactly.
You're not allowed to speak Korean at your job anyway. So
where are you working?
Poly school
by the Rotary, somewhere by Gomotop.
Yeah, it's near Ulsan Grand Park. Yeah, Ulsan Grand Park. That's another thing I went to. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Where is it?
Right, Gomotop.
It's close. It's close to Ulsan Grand Park.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Nice. You know, Ulsan Grand Park is 5 kilometers long.
Yeah. It's a nice park.
It goes from right here all the way to your job.
I know.
That's it. So, yeah.
That's something to explore, too.
Yeah, I explored quite a bit. I saw the Korean War Memorial and everything. That was pretty cool.
Nice, yeah.
You got all the airplanes and the tanks.
Oh, the airplane. Yeah, I've seen that. That's really
pretty
cool.
Neat, eh?
If you're in Seoul, hit up the War Memorial Museum.
I've been there before. Yeah, it's incredible.
It's wild.
And it's free, too.
Yeah.
Like all of Korea's war history, not just Korean War, but like all their world history, it's pretty incredible.
You'll be surprised how much free stuff is here too. Just met a friend,
and also like buy one get one free stuff. Like I think like when you go to like convenience stores, stuff seems more expensive, but like so much of it is like buy one get one free. So I always end up getting 2 Dr. Peppers, and I put one in the fridge when I get home.
The big
doctor. Where do you buy Dr. Peppers?
I keep forgetting the name of the store, but
we were looking.
It could be like one of those CU marts or whatever it's called. Yeah.
The Shane
but
there's
only like 1 or 2 of the different chains carry it, and all the other ones don't. But if I'm ever looking for one, yesterday we were looking for one for the Shane game.
Yeah, and Taiwan. I love Dr. Pepper, and in Taiwan Dr. Pepper is pretty rare. So
yeah.
I think I find it at Home Plus maybe, and somehow it's always Hyundai Pekwajom department in the basement of Hyundai Pekwajom.
They get it.
It's 75 cents. Still, it never changes.
It's the same pack. You're the only one buying it.
Yeah, I'd like to learn some new places. Like JJ's Bar. That place is really cool. I've been there 3 times, and I'll definitely go there more times. Yeah. But, I mean, I definitely do like that place a lot. I wouldn't want it to be, like, the only expat place I go to. Because I kind of want, like, a little more variety.
There used to be lots more. There used to be SEMA. Long time ago, there was Tombstone.
Sticky Fingers.
I mean, that whole area seems like a real bustling place.
It's cool. Yeah. It's like a refurbished downtown. It used to be quite beat up when we came here, but it's all nice now, and it's got all the little historical pictures and stuff on the side. And
You're not 23 and 24, so you might... I mean, I don't know, but in... Otherwise, JJ's is the place. Otherwise, you're just looking for foreigners. There's not really a foreign congregation place. Maybe Thursday Party might have a few still. But if you go to Donggu, like where the shipyard is, there's a lot of engineers.
Oh, nice.
And there's a lot of places out there where you can find. But the typical 23, 25, 27-year-old teacher is not mingling out there with engineers. But that's a whole other culture out there.
Oh, nice.
But there are a bunch of options out there where lots of foreigners hang out.
But if you're looking for like St. Patty's Day that feeling of home.
I want to find a place where like there's like good beer, you know what I mean? I mean, another just like a place that's known for unique and good beer, you know? Like I remember there's this one place near that chicken place near where I lived called Story of Praha. I thought I was going to have some really unique beers, but it's just like
Kassin.
Well, it's just like typical brand beers you could see at
like you want craft beers or?
Like craft beer is good, yeah.
Trevi. Go to Trevier.
Trevier?
I'll show you after. There's probably 15 craft beers on tap there.
Oh, nice.
You can go, is that the one with the bracelet?
Yeah, they give you the bracelet. Oh, they just go up, you buzz your bracelet.
Yeah, let's do that. Like
the self-serve kind of.
Maybe next Friday night or next Saturday night, I'll go there.
Yeah. That's probably the place where you can get the most variety of craft on tap. But listen, I mean, our first 12 years here, there was three beers and that was it. Yeah. That was it. Unless you went to Wabar, you get a Budweiser or something. But now it's incredible.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. I'm very picky with my taste in beer. It's like, this is going to be a spoiler for people who are going to see my stand-up comedy show, but I once made a comment, like, I remember watching that Jeffrey Dahmer miniseries on Netflix. I thought the most disturbing thing about that show was the fact that he always drank Budweiser. So that's going to be a little spoiler for people who are going to see my show.
Dude, I'm excited to see that. Yes, how long's your...
However long you want me to.
Yeah.
Probably going to be like 10 minutes or so.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because usually I've done this for a while, so I have all these jokes in my head.
Yeah.
And usually when I do stand-ups, I just tell the jokes that happen to be circling in my head at the time. And if I have to wait more than 10 seconds before thinking of the next joke, I'm like, all right, that's it.
Yeah. All good. You do, do you do any like story kind of story joke, or is
joke,
it just...
I mostly just joke. I don't really
punches?
I don't really like comedians to do like long-winded stories because... I feel like it kind of puts your eggs in one basket. I mean, if the punchline works, then it works. But if it doesn't work, then you've just wasted the audience's time.
Sure.
Like, where even if you tell a joke that didn't work, there's a chance the next one might.
Sure.
So it's like...
Who are your influences?
Well, I know April 3rd, like, Dimitri Martin is going to have a new stand-up on Netflix. I'm really looking forward to that. Dimitri Martin's hilarious. I like Ricky Gervais. I think most of my influences don't really come from stand-up, but like shows like Seinfeld,
sure,
Curb Enthusiasm, like South Park back in the day.
Have you seen the new Curb?
No, I haven't, because I know it's the final season, I should watch it, but like I kind of like lost track, and now I'm just so far behind.
Yeah.
It was great back in the day, and In Betweeners, that show is hilarious.
I haven't seen it.
It's a British show. It's absolutely hysterical.
I'll check it out.
Like, there's some jokes in the in-between.
Oh, yeah, I think I know that. I think I've seen that in between.
There's some jokes that would not fly today. Like when Jay was getting upset that he wasn't going to be picked for the fashion show, he was like, I'll show them. And Will's like, Futile Gesture show them or Columbine show them? Whatever's worse.
Oh.
Like, stuff like that. So you couldn't work on it today.
There's a lot of stuff that like, wouldn't fly today.
Johnny driving me to work really made me feel like royalty. Unfortunately, the royalty I felt like was Princess Diana.
Oh, those drop hard. I love watching old movies. You're just like, oh my god, you could never do this.
I know it's kind of a cliche to say that it wouldn't get made today, but Blazing Saddles, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Animal House, I still love Animal House.
Yeah.
Like, I watched it when I was like a very young teenager. It has that nostalgia, but I still think it holds up.
Yeah.
Or at least for people who have a sense of humor.
Oh, there's quite a few.
When I was chatting with you there, you mentioned Criterion Blu-ray. Can you? I mean, I'm sure many people listening probably don't know what they are. Can you give us a little bit of, just maybe a summary of what Criterion Blu-ray are?
Well, it's sort of a hobby of mine. Like, if you're a huge movie buff like me, you definitely know what they are. It's like a distribution company. They give like art house films or movies that are beloved by anyone or movies that some people might not have heard of before, like a lot of Kurosawa, Fellini, Bergman, and they give their own like special releases and everything with a very artsy cover. There's like all these bonus features and everything. I think it's a good investment if you're a movie buff like me.
Yep.
How many do you have?
Oh, I lost count. Over 20, I think. It's because I've lost count because like I have the entire essential Fellini collection. So
you sent that to me and I looked at it. It's an Italian director and it seems like he's kind of I haven't seen any of the movies, just reading on the Wikipedia page. It seems very he blurs the lines between kind of reality,
fantasy and reality. Well, in his later films, yes.
Okay.
But his earlier films were like more like Italian neorealism.
Okay.
But it's like his later films that are more like dream sequences, sort of.
Ooh, very interesting.
What draws you to this type of movie?
I don't know. Maybe.
How did you get into it?
Maybe it's because I have a bit of the snob in me, but I like movies that take risks, the movies that give you like food for thought. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, movies obviously should entertain you for sure, but I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things I can't really answer in a few sentences.
How do you, out of all the Blu-ray, or what is it, Criterion Blu-ray, how do you choose your 20? How do you choose?
I'm a 20.
Yeah. Well, what's the criteria for?
I do a few blind buys. I try to buy stuff that things that aren't on streaming or anything.
Okay.
So that would obviously have priority. Because there's actually a YouTube channel that shows nothing but like old like Russian films, like films by Tarkovsky.
Okay.
So as much as I love Tarkovsky and I love Andrei Rublev, I probably wouldn't buy the Blu-ray because you can watch it for free. So I would give priority over ones that you can't normally get on streaming.
Very nice, very nice. Like you said, you can discover all the extra features and stuff. Yeah,
and also streaming giveth and streaming taketh away.
Yeah.
That's, sure. That's one thing you gotta understand.
Sure. No, it's like buying a CD back in the day and finding a hidden track on it or something. You get all those little extras.
Oh yeah.
Which movie do you hope makes it to Criterion Blu-ray?
Korean cinema is horribly underrepresented because I think they have like 3 Bong Joon-ho films and 1 Secret Sunshine, Secret Sunshine by Lee Chang-dong. I actually think Lee Chang-dong might be a better filmmaker than Bong, but that's just my opinion. Mm. So I think Korean cinema is horribly underrepresented. I still say Park Chan-wook's my favorite director from Korea.
That's Old Boy, sure. Yes. All of his movies are like revenge theme, yeah?
Most of them, but yeah. A lot of them are great. He's one of my favorite directors, period.
If anyone says Old Boy, I immediately just go, oh. And I just grab my tongue just thinking about getting your
top 5 favorite movies for me as well, Old Boy.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite non-English language film, Old Boy.
Huh.
I've seen a lot.
For me, I would have to say Kung Fu Hustle.
I saw that. I remember liking it.
Man, it hit me in...
I remember liking that.
In just the weirdest way. It was just... I don't know. I don't know what it was.
I heard all of his movies are like that. Stephen Chow, the director.
I don't know. It flowed so well in it. Just his imagination of how, like, in some of the fight scenes, you're just like, how did he think of that? It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It was more of a feeling than something that I can explain.
I don't watch a lot, but if I was doing non-English language, it's got to be that Chirban is somewhere there. Miracle in Cell 7.
I saw that movie, the Korean film.
Yeah.
Very, very touching movie.
Where the dad's mentally not fit and he gets tossed in jail for the wrong reason. His daughter tries to get into jail and she has to find lawyers to help get him out.
And she really likes Sailor Moon and everything.
Yeah. No, never seen.
Come on.
It's a good movie.
It was 15 years ago. It was the best movie in the country.
No. No.
I saw it in the theater. The whole place was just tears.
Like, was Parasite... I assume Parasite was a big deal here.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive. Yes. You know the actor...
That's a terrible story.
Oh.
But it kind of makes you think, though. If the Korean police did that to, like, a big, rich celebrity actor, imagine what they would do to the average person. You know what I mean?
Shit, yeah.
Like, it kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
If they did that to a celebrity, what would they do?
For the average person, they're kind of like friends. The police are so different here. It seems like it's either high profile or nothing else matters, kind of.
I mean, like, corrupt police, it's a very common trope in Korean cinema, I've noticed. Having, like, corrupt or incompetent police.
Well, when we interviewed the police guy here, he was saying it was only since the 90s, late 90s, where they really started campaigning and they have, like, their podori, they got, like, their little cartoon characters that are trying to convince the younger generation that they're not bad guys.
But even last week, like, I dropped the kids off. There's like, I think they brought the whole police station there from Oakdale, like 20 police officers there. I said, what are they doing? They're here all week. They're helping. They're checking. They're introducing. But now they have a pretty gentle image. Like, they just, the first ghost car came out like 3 months ago here. There's nobody. It's not like Canada where they're all out. It seems like they're all out to get you, and they're hiding behind this and hiding behind that speed camera. This, that, guys at the bar. Remember getting out of the bar when you're younger, and they're like, "Let's go, keep it moving." Well, can I get a hot dog, or is that not okay anymore? And they're all
you're talking about cops at home,
but here, man, I remember pulling up one day coming from Shimbok onto the Uni Street, and I was talking on my phone. And they were waving guys in, and he waved me in, and I put my window down and said, just wait a second, please, I'm almost done. And he's like, dude, you can't talk on your phone when you're driving. And that was it. Wow. He said, have a good day. And I was like, this would have been a big problem if it was back home. But no, the Itaewon disaster and stuff, that's what makes the news. That's the Parasite guy.
I remember when I went to Seoul back, this is like 2017, That was when they had like a lot of protesters because that one female leader, like she was getting Botox or something when like that ferry capsized.
That she was the president.
Yeah, I like how you summarized that. Yeah. The leader was getting Botox while the ferry capsized.
That's what happened. Well, I did say, and something like that.
Yeah.
But it's very, I mean, that's still a very touchy subject here. It plays a role in politics every election.
And man, watch the. There was a. If you want the full story on that, watch. It might have been.
Is the full story out still yet?
Dude, I think it was New York Times. Maybe did like a 30-minute documentary on it, and they translated all the phone calls, all the text messages, and they got like a running timeline as it goes. Horrible, horrifying to watch. Absolutely brutal. To watch, but
my lasting impression is the captain and his gits jumping out the back of the ship.
Into the
life raft.
It was the exact opposite of the Titanic. I'm going down with this ship. This guy's like, fuck this, I'm getting right out of here.
I know, that's funny. Honestly, if I was on the Titanic, I'd probably like dress up as a woman or something.
Oh, you jump off.
Somebody's making a new Titanic, aren't they, in Sweden or Finland or somewhere?
Yeah, I heard about that.
What do you mean? A replica
of the Titanic, yeah.
They want to bring back like that era of all decor and stuff.
Well, I hope they have enough life posts this time.
Dude, the irony of like, this ship is unsinkable. Maiden voyage. Yeah. Six.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I think the ship is strong enough to sink. I think the ship, there's nothing wrong about the ship itself. It's just like, run to an iceberg. They got too cocky, you know?
Sure. Are you a fan of James Cameron?
I like James Cameron. I'm not a big fan of the Avatar movies, though. He clearly is really, really passionate about those movies, and I admire that, but I kind of find his passion to be a little misplaced. Like, over the last 25 years, I'd have much rather we get 8 movies like True Lies than 2 Avatar movies.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. But I do unironically love Titanic. That is a hill I'm willing to die on.
Okay.
Like, I know it's cool to hang on Titanic, but I always love that movie.
Sure.
He's
from my hometown.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is Canadian, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is Canadian, isn't he?
Niagara Falls. I think Chippewa. Yeah.
Does Taiwan have any film festivals? There must be something there.
Actually, there was a Taipei Film Festival. I saw the Disaster Artist there. That was pretty nice. But like, I've been meaning to ask, when is the Busan Film Festival?
Usually in the fall, September, October.
All right. Mm. I'll be there. Because I know Bong has a movie coming out. Like Mikey 17, whatever it's called, with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a big.
Yeah, maybe I'll see that there. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
But the
big. Well, although I don't think his English language films are as good as his Korean ones.
But Snowpiercer. What was that?
I like Snowpiercer, but I don't really think it's one of his best.
No,
I mean his best are probably like Parasite, Memories of Murder, and Mother. Those are probably his best films.
No.
But yeah, the Busan one here is a big deal, and it's just grown immensely since we came. I mean, it's gotten bigger.
I want to go to one.
And now there's the whole PIF Center, and it's huge now.
Yeah, I've seen it. Like, I would love to go. I would love to get early tickets to go to the Busan Film Festival.
You gotta get on it early.
It'd be awesome.
Talk to some of the guys in the network there in Busan.
It'd be awesome. It would be a dream to like discover a movie at a film festival that really blows up later. Like, yeah, I saw that before. It was cool.
Yeah,
you know.
First Busan, then.
Yeah.
What was before Parasite?
What?
Wasn't there a big one, big Korean movie before
Parasite? Well, Burning. Burning is really good.
Because one of them.
I actually think Burning is better than Parasite. My controversial take, but yeah.
One of them came out at either Cannes or in Busan before they blew up.
not sure.
What do you think of Squid Games?
Oh, I love Squid Game.
Yeah?
I even have a t-shirt. Like, if I get this. When I was in Taiwan, I actually invented a game to play based on Squid Game.
No way.
Well, this is what I do. They would obviously say something in English, something we've learned today, but I would draw like this two-row, two-column charts. Yeah. It's sort of like a memory game where they have to memorize the whole thing.
Oh, that's a good
idea.
And
whoever does that first gets a star for their team.
That's a good idea. I've never thought about adapting that. Yeah. I've tried to pretend to...
I think I talked to my boss and she said she doesn't want that because the Korean parents would obviously get the reference.
Yeah.
You kind of get the impression Korean parents are a little more sensitive than Taiwanese ones.
Slightly.
I just couldn't believe how many kids knew what the hell Squid Games was.
Dude, people in Taiwan knew what it was. Like, when I was teaching kids in Taiwan, they would say red light, green light in Korean.
Yeah.
That's how much they knew about Squid Game.
Yeah. Squid Games had such an impact. Like rural convenience stores in Quebec were selling dalgona for like five bucks.
Oh my god, that's
shocking. Yeah, that's shocking.
I mean, well, speaking of filmmakers, I mean, Canada's new golden boy, especially Quebec, is Denis Villeneuve.
Don't know.
The guy who directed Dune.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Denis Villeneuve. He's from Quebec.
Oh my god. Okay, no, I'm aware of Dune. I didn't know who the director was.
Wow. Well, we need to get on that.
Yeah, clearly. What's his name? Have you seen it?
Like Denis Villeneuve. It's sort of like Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Dune?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah?
Like better than the first one.
It wasn't too spice?
I see what you did there, yeah. I like a little spice.
What was the movie culture like in Taiwan? In terms of, are you downloading these and watching them, or do you go to the cinema?
I go to the cinema because I live really close to cinema, so I'd always go there.
And what is it, similar to the States? Or
I imagine it's pretty similar. Like some foreign language films have English subtitles, but some don't, so that's a little tricky. Like I saw Park Chan-wook's new movie with English subtitles. They had that. Like, okay. Decision to Leave, that was really good. And I saw the new Miyazaki movie, The Boy and the Heron, that had English subtitles as well. That was also nice. But they'd have like Chinese subtitles and then English subtitles.
See, that's something they don't do here, and it drives me nuts. I'd watch so many more movies if they had the English subtitles, but they don't.
In Taiwan, it's like sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Mm. In fact, when I saw Dune, when they spoke in Freeman, they still had the English subtitles.
Oh, that's awesome.
The craziest one I saw here was Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
But in a conservative Korea, oh my god, I think half the people went out in the first 4 minutes.
Oh my god.
They just stand up and get out. Yeah. And people have their kids there. And
That is insane.
So when you're here, have you been to the cinemas yet or no?
I actually saw Dune Part 2 at Shinsegae in Busan.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I saw that in the world's biggest department store. That was pretty nice. Yeah.
What? I saw your post on that. What's your take on that, the world's biggest department store?
Oh, that's pretty incredible.
But I wonder what the classification of what the hell a department store is, because we'd call that a shopping mall, not a department store.
It's all about semantics, semantic schematics, I think. Sure. It's the biggest mall, let's just say that.
It's a big ass place.
Although I actually went to like the spa land there once. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Korean spas are for me, because like at the world's gym, like I'd be in the hot tub like naked with adults, but like seeing like all the little kids naked, it's just incredibly uncomfortable to me.
Sure. Do you have any tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos.
I never even thought of that.
What's that?
Being in the saunas or whatever with the little kids.
Yeah, it's just kind of very, very disturbing and uncomfortable for me.
I mean,
What are the kids that I taught in school went to one of those? You know, it'd be awkward as hell.
It happens all the time. I go to the
most teachers don't go to the and if they go, like, we just go to small ones like close to our houses,
yeah,
where there's typically not kids. It's usually old guys.
I go to the one just around the corner here, and it's the same dudes every morning. But if you do go in the afternoon, like I'll see my son's friends and shit, and they'll be like, oh, your dad's got tattoos.
I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
But like the big one in Gyeongju, yeah, that's like families. You go, you hike up to
somewhere. No, not naked.
The big sauna and thing? Sure it is. There's a guys and a girls.
Okay, yeah. Oh, it's separated by sexes.
Yeah. But you hike up to Sokoram, then you come down and you had a long day in Gyeongju. Yeah, lots of families will go to the spa or sauna or whatever.
I had a Korean buddy who went, I think he was in Germany, and he went and it was full like male, female. He's like, dude, I walked in, there's beautiful like bombshells like 20 years old. Like, old grandmas,
but like Starship Troopers.
Yeah, everyone's in the same thing. He said he was so uncomfortable. But
is there a sauna culture in Taiwan or no?
Not really. I mean, they have like pools and everything, but like they're like normal swimming pools.
Well, I suggest going to one of the smaller ones around where you live, where it has whatever, like three or four different pools and a dry sauna and a wet sauna.
Jump in the cold, go to the hot.
There's not kids hanging out in those things. Typically, I mean, someone might go with their dad on the weekend or whatever, but those are pretty refreshing. How much are they? Do you know? How much is yours?
$10. $10, $15 bucks maybe for a day pass. All
right. What are some of the things you miss from Taiwan?
Well, the weather, of course, because the weather in Taiwan right now would be pretty nice. I mean, it's gotten better in the last few days here, but
You know what? This is kind of strange for here. Usually this is...
cherry blossoms are already full on. We never wait till the beginning of April for cherry blossoms.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's late this year, yeah.
I mean, the weather was nice yesterday in Gyeongju.
Yeah.
But then it got really windy, and like I forgot to bring a hat, and I almost caught a cold. Like, I was considering saying, hey, can we do this another time? But I'm better now, so that's good.
Ah, good.
I actually... Yeah, like the wind was blowing hard and I didn't have a hat and everything, so.
Oh, yeah. You poor bastard with your nice head of hair, both of you.
What, weather, anything else?
I mean, as well, I mean, there's also, you got the famous chains in Taiwan. Here's the thing about Taiwan. Usually, like, the train restaurants, I assumed were Taiwanese or really Japanese. Like, Mos Burger, for a while, I thought that was Taiwanese, but it was really Japanese.
Yeah.
But, like, Pizza Rock, I never really care for the pizza there, but, like, the breadsticks are great. And just, like, local stuff, you know? Like, I had my favorite restaurant in Kaohsiung, which I obviously won't have here.
Yeah.
Like, I need to find something to fill the void.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I know what you won't miss from Taiwan.
What?
Uptowner.
Oh, son! How did you know about that?
Sons of bitches!
How did you learn about that?
Can you tell us a little bit about Uptowner?
Oh well, first of all, tell me what you know. First of all, tell me what you know. How the bloody hell did you know about that? Oh my god!
I know it's a popular bar, and the staff seems to be great people, but the owner has some questionable practices.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Absolutely, but like. Could you elaborate on what you know about it before I go any further?
I happened to read your review.
And you're
goodness. They're super nice people.
Well, the owner is not a nice guy at all. But, like, well, put it this way. If I were to elaborate on my problems with the Uptowner, it would ruin the whole mood of this.
Oh, okay.
It would get, like, really dark and serious. Like, it would ruin the whole mood of this podcast. Like,
all right, dude.
Maybe another time.
Maybe another time. We'll scratch up.
I want this to be a fun thing. And if I talked about it, it won't be fun. So.
Totally, yeah.
It would ruin the whole thing.
No worries, dude.
Ruin the whole thing.
There's places we've all been that aren't our favorite and not even worth mentioning.
Any
doubt.
But this is because like me and personal stuff with the owner as well.
Oh, okay.
So, but if I were to elaborate on it, it would ruin the whole.
No worries, dude. No worries. We move
any,
on.
Any good surprises coming to Korea?
Good surprises. Well, Papa John's. I think
it's new, right? What, 5 years maybe?
No, more than that.
In Ulsan.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
No, the first one was
pre-COVID.
Daodong there.
Pretty cool.
Although one thing I was a little disappointed because I actually looked it up. I thought they had Arby's in Korea because I remember seeing old headlines in that they were going to open up some Arby's in Korea, but apparently that hasn't happened
Tell
yet.
Tell your uncle to bring one over.
Whoa. Tim.
We just got Burger King back, man.
$5 roast beef sandwiches?
Here, well, I mean, Burger King's pretty common. Like, when I first moved to Taiwan, Burger King was like only the airport in like the northern areas. Like, it would be my tradition whenever I visited somewhere, I'd eat at the Burger King at the Taiwan airport.
Yeah.
But now Burger King has become a lot more common in Taiwan. That's the one thing that's changed.
Burger King and Subway here were relatively non-existent until 5 years ago.
Well, in Taiwan,
seven.
In Taiwan, the big three are McDonald's, Subway, and KFC. Those are the big three.
KFC is not so big here, eh? We got one, I think, in the whole city.
Hmm.
Yeah, KFC. Well, KFC is very big in Taiwan.
But that's
and it's Korea almost
makes the best chicken. I mean,
yeah, I know.
No one needs
KFC. But KFC
it's like trying to find a Pizza Hut in Italy, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Why and would KFC, you need it? I find KFC's kind of like modified their chicken to be more Koreanized with
the Well, animals. it's being solely supported by Mark Brown. There's one foreigner here.
It's so famous and good here. I mean, I know. Like I said, it's like trying to find a Domino's in Italy. Why would you do that when the pizza here is so good?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Korea has probably the best street food, but Italy has like the best food in general, like the pizza.
Sure.
Like, the pizza in Rome, it lives up to the hype.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to like a cheap restaurant near like a gift shop, the pizza is better than most you've ever had.
Isn't Napoli the pizza?
We did have pizza in Napoli. Like, that's where it was invented, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
But just Italy in general has a great pizza.
Yeah. There's a nice place over here, too. A guy who's trained in...
You guys need me to write down the names.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, that's it? Only Papa John's?
Well, Papa John's trying to find other nice surprises. Well, I mean, Busan was nice, but I kind of expected it to be nice.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, the weather wasn't as bad as Seoul when I went there in the winter.
Seoul can be chilly. Any weird quirks with the people or mannerisms or like? Do you notice the parking on the sidewalks and guys driving on the sidewalks? And
I haven't noticed that yet. So yeah. I haven't noticed that yet.
Until you get hit by a Domino scooter.
Yeah,
free pizzas for life.
Exactly. Yeah.
How about in regards to teaching? Can you do a little comparison of maybe what it was like there?
That's a good question.
What's like here?
It's pretty. I'd say it's pretty similar. I think the people at my current job actually like me, so that's a good thing. Like, I get positive reinforcement all the time. Like, I still struggle with classroom management. That's always been a problem. Like, getting kids to listen to me.
Hmm.
And it's, I mean, it has inspired some good stand-up routines for me, but that's about it.
Sure. Sure. That's, did you get a dong chim yet?
Dong chim?
Yeah.
What's that? No.
Yeah, let's put that in your routine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Like, this is a good one. Now, this joke is still kind of in the nascent stage. Like, I haven't fully fleshed it out, but, let's just say I knew this one guy in Taiwan. Like we can talk about COVID in Taiwan later, but like everyone else was wearing a mask, but he wasn't. So the boss went to him in front of the class, arguing with him, "Hey, you need to wear a mask in front of the kids." And says, "No, I really firmly believe I do not need to wear a mask." And after arguing, that guy was kicked out of Taiwan forever. I mean, it makes sense. He was mask debating in front of a bunch of kids.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Yeah, that's funny. Taiwan was very weird when it came to COVID because for the first year, we weren't affected at all. But then it was like maybe like May 2021. That's when somebody made a mistake. And then we had all that COVID
records. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys shut down, right?
Yes. But they kind of messed it up in the end.
Well, listen, when I went home 3 years ago, I had EVA Air tickets. You got EVA or EVA? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I've flown EVA. I might have flown them
before. I had tickets through Taiwan, and I got them. Remember, I got them like cheap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then 4 days before, they're like, they haven't granted permission for international flights yet or something. Or you can only fly in and out. You can't transfer.
Yeah.
And so my tickets got canceled, but... Yeah, it was, man, yeah, I had the amazing tickets.
I mean, it's funny. I even joked about it. Like during like 2020, like Taiwan wasn't affected by COVID yet, but the rest of the world was. So it'd be like, it used to be when I could make my friends jealous, I'd have to post a pic of like Neuschwanstein Castle. Now all I have to do is post a pic of me going to the movies.
Yeah.
And it makes people jealous.
But
Taiwan did eventually get it like after a year. Oh,
I got a question about your pictures. You got lots of beautiful architecture in your pictures, and that seems to be a theme in your travel photos. Is there any particular like building, temple, or castle that really holds a special place in your heart?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I will say like when you visit as many places as I have, visiting new stuff kind of loses a little bit of an impact, but yeah. Place in my heart, that would imply that, I mean,
something.
Just the fact that me visiting Hong Kong for the first time, I was like 22 years old, and just being out on my own, like not even a year out of college, visiting new stuff. It's like Hong Kong has a place in my heart, especially like the skyline at night.
Sure.
If you ever go to the peak and see the Hong Kong skyline at night, it's incredible.
Sure.
Like Watch Mojo did a top 10 list of greatest city skylines, and Hong Kong was number one.
Cool.
And I don't disagree with that one bit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's awesome, dude. There's some breathtaking views everywhere you go. You know?
Everywhere, yes.
You're still fairly young. What do you hope to get out of Korea? I mean, you came here with maybe whatever.
I'll probably be here for a year or so because like I did this online course for like digital design and I didn't even complete it. Like it was only a few week course. It didn't cost me that much money, but started to be focused on moving, so I couldn't really put my time in the course. But I was thinking maybe next year I'll find another job, one that doesn't work as many hours, so I'd have more time to do an online class on digital design. Like I was thinking spending here maybe 1 or 2 years.
Well, there's definitely jobs that like 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 is the longest hours that you'd work.
Yeah, I'm getting paid a lot more than my Taiwan job, and this job pays for much of my apartment too. Like the job I work, they actually pay for your apartment. But when I first moved, I realized it was way, way, way too small. I'm like, hey, I'm willing to pay for a bigger one because it was just too small.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, just getting that that's a sign of a good guy.
And even then, like, they still pay for most of my apartment. Like, I'd only have to pay, like, $200,000. And for those of you who aren't Korean, that's, like, $200.
Yeah. Huh. There's a... Oh, dude, yeah, if you want to stay for another year, just... Let us know. I'm sure we can find something for
directors and
awesome
around that have.
I just,
I'd love to get do something like talk about entertainment or something like that. Yeah, I'd love to get a job doing that.
Yeah,
like, did you guys get paid for this podcast or
no? We had a sponsor 2 years ago, and we it was a one time deal.
Huh.
It was a one time deal.
If we get anything, we'll put it back and get better equipment and stuff. But No, just a passion project, just for fun.
Bought these microphones.
This is our social life, and we don't go out all the time, and we got kids, and we're married, and this is where we get
to. Yeah, I'm not married, I don't have kids.
And we get to meet interesting people. I mean, you said, you know, a little bit foggy memory from the bar the other night, but that's the problem. When we go meet people at the bar, you know,
it's memories.
The first 2 minutes is good, and then it goes downhill really fast.
Well, you gotta pray. You gotta pray you get their Instagram or something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Here we can have really, really fun conversations.
Yeah, I love that.
How do you find making friends in new countries when I came here at a soft landing, I knew someone.
I've usually able to meet some friends. Friends are very valuable, but one thing I've learned like the hard way is that you only have a few real friends in life. The rest are just acquaintances.
Absolutely.
No, you guys have great potential to be really good friends with me, and I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, acquaintances are not a bad thing. It's just, but there is a difference between acquaintances and friends.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, you guys can be my friends, and you have great potential to be.
Awesome. I'm glad to make the short list so far. Hey, we're doing exactly.
All right. After a couple of years here, looking ahead, where do you think, do you ever eventually want to settle back home in the States? Or
I don't know about that, but I know I don't want to be teaching English forever. Like, this is my 10th year teaching English. Like, it was my first job of any kind, really. Like, I never had a part-time job in college. Like, I think my major is international studies with a minor in Chinese. So the one thing about teaching in Korean that's different is that I actually speak and understand a little Chinese. And that's a very poorly kept secret from the kids.
Mm.
Like, they'd always say in Chinese that the teacher understands.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't get that with Korea, so.
Well, I mean, if you ever decided to learn the language, the Chinese, can you read the Chinese characters too?
I read some of them, but with Korean.
That'll be very helpful.
I feel like if the Chinese language had the Korean alphabet, I would have been fluent in Chinese by now.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's cool about Korean. Once you like know the alphabet, you like just go outside and
read everything. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of neat.
And then you realize that half of it is English.
Well, yeah, like taxi,
Pizza Hut, Papa John's.
It's funny. Even when you look at movie posters, the movie posters, when we say the Korean, it's just like literally like
how
you say it in English, you know?
Abata.
It's literally like, but with Chinese movie posters, like it's not like that. Or Chinese language movie posters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like in Korean, like it's literally exactly how you'd say it in English. Even if you go to like Subway, if you look at the options, like teriyaki, that's exactly how you'd say it in English.
Sure. Right? Yeah. You'll find lots of that. I enjoy, back to movies there, I enjoy the horror genre. I don't know when.
I mean, I like good horror films, but I can't say it's my favorite genre.
But you're into war movies and movies in conflict, yeah?
Yeah, I like war movies.
Okay. What draws you to the genre?
Oh, the genre? Well, I mean, that's kind of weird to say because of the action, because war is, in general, not a good thing. Mm. But I don't know, just like conflict. It's just something interesting about it, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And there are many ways you can approach it as well. There's many things you can talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed, just the other day I was on the running machine, on the treadmill. And I saw, jeez, I've been here too long.
Running machine.
I haven't ran in a long time. Like, back when I was like in high school, like I was never very athletic, but I could like run 4 miles.
Sure, sure.
There's no way I would be able to do that today.
I was going
to
say I was on the running machine and fuck me, on the treadmill in the morning. And I was watching Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, it's classic.
Man, so good.
So good.
I didn't see the whole, I saw about 30 minutes of action there, but it's a beautiful, beautiful movie, man.
Saving Private Ryan, yes. It's Spielberg in his prime. He can deliver.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure. Any other genre you're into? You mentioned earlier.
I like thrillers, of course, like comedies.
This is a hard question. And you mentioned Tarantino earlier. Do you have a favorite of his?
Well, Pulp Fiction, obviously, but I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think I like
that. That got a lot of hate. I heard a lot of people were like, it wasn't that good. I thought it was fucking wicked.
I love it. Yeah. I actually liked it more than Parasites.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I am biased towards Tarantino.
Mm.
I mean, maybe Parasite's objectively a better film, but my heart goes Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You must be familiar with True Romance.
Oh, I love True Romance. I have the Arrow, not the Criterion, but the Arrow release of that. Like, that's the only steelbook I own.
Oh, dude.
It's funny. We all have scenes when we're showing our friends our favorite movies, and we like look at their facial reactions, how they react. For me, it's the Christopher Walken, Dennis Hopper scene.
Oh, dude, nothing.
Which we can't really reenact in this
absolutely podcast. I sometimes just go on YouTube and just watch that 10 minutes. It's incredible. Give me one of those Chesterfields.
I had a young Tony Soprano in it.
Oh yeah,
and James Gandolfini. Oh my god, one of the greatest casts of all time. Gary Oldman, Val Kilmer.
Oh, that's incredible.
One of the greatest casts of all time.
Yeah. Being a movie buff, how selective are you in what you watch? Is it just like I watch anything and everything that comes out?
Oh, no, I'm not like that. I mean, I've never seen Madame Web. I mean,
a movie horror.
I mean, like, there's a much greater chance of me getting a date with Sydney Sweeney than me seeing Madame Web.
Nice. But I feel some guys just watch everything. I don't know how picky you are, but man.
I mean, if it gets great reviews, stuff. Gets a lot of buzz, I'd watch it.
That I don't watch a lot of movies, but when something's like that, like buzzing, I'll check it out.
Yes,
but it's you've watched clearly a million more movies than me. But I just wonder when you're choosing, is it I'm bored on a Friday night, I'll just pick any movie and sit down and
watch. Well, I mean, like I have like Letterboxd, I have like watch lists, so sometimes like I haven't watched any new movies in a while, like from my streaming, but I've just been settling in and everything.
Yeah,
like right now I've been focusing on watching shows, like both Tokyo Vice and Shogun that I mentioned, like. Both are being aired right now.
Shogun was just recommended to me by a friend. He's like, incredible. He came here in September.
I mean, it's going to be a mini series, like 10 episodes. The first five have already aired.
Yeah.
It's really good.
He visited here in September and he's like, man, some of the temples, it's like what I saw. I'm like, well, you know, it's a different country, but he's like, yeah, no, I know.
The irony is, I'm pretty sure that show's filmed in Vancouver.
No way.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
The technology is just incredible.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Are you into acting or performance arts at all other than stand-up or no?
I mean, I never really acted. I think I took like one acting class in college, but I wasn't really good at it. It was like one of those things where just to fill like a core requirements.
Yeah. We got a friend here, Zach, who did, what was it, audio drama? They just released it. We'll send it over to you. So it's really cool to listen to. And he took the JJ's bar owner.
Oh yeah.
Patrick. Yeah, he was the main guy. He was the main voice and it was really cool.
That's really cool. That's
really cool stuff. Yeah, another one here. See, you're into art. We talked earlier about Vermeer's.
I do like a lot of pen and ink drawings. I don't even trace with pencil, I just do it with ink.
Me too. Man, I love
nice. Do you have any drawings that
Not here. I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Maybe another time.
What do you? I love doing architecture. Any building I see, I'm
I should draw some of my architecture, but usually the stuff I draw has to do with movies.
Oh, okay.
Like I think one of my favorite drawings, if not my favorite, was me recreating the movie poster for You Only Live Twice.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Like James Bond, like the hot tub, with the other Japanese women.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Oh wow.
How often do you practice?
The thing is, I practice by doing it, but...
But that's what I mean.
Well, the thing is, like, there's usually long periods before I draw. Like, I need to get inspired first, you know? It's like, it's not something I do every day. Like, you need, like, an inspiration or a good idea.
Yes, draw it. Oh, cool. How long have you been in the craft?
A few years.
Cool. I'm terrible, but it's so satisfying to watercolor sometimes, too, but it's very satisying to do.
With, like, professional pens, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, look, they're not super expensive. You could probably get them at a stationery store here, but still.
Yeah, that's that's good. I noticed there is a big difference between using just a regular
pen. I mean, at first I would use, like, a normal black pen, but... And the drawings turned out fine, but they look better with, like, real art pens.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. What about... we saw your picture there with Vermeer, or the picture of Vermeer's
Girl of the Prairie. Girl of the Prairie, yeah.
What other pieces have you seen? Or have you seen pieces? We can all view them on the internet, but yeah, have you seen a piece that was like...
Well, I mean, I've been to the Louvre. Yeah. Mona Lisa is nice, but I would hardly call it the best thing there.
Right.
I'd say probably the best paintings in the Louvre are by Jacques-Louis David, if I'm saying his name right, because he always did like paintings of Napoleon and everything.
Okay.
Like you see like Napoleon's coronation.
Mm.
And like back in the Schloss Belvedere, which is in Vienna, you saw that famous painting of like Napoleon on his horse and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On two legs.
Okay.
Like, if you want to see that painting, you have to go to Vienna for it.
Yeah.
Hmm. I didn't even know it was there too, so it was a really nice surprise.
I feel bad for the people who go to the Louvre these days. And you're like, oh, it's my dream to see Mona Lisa, and some climate protester throwing fucking schmuckers jam all over.
You know what's funny? Granted, they have like glass on it. I don't think the painting's ruined.
No, the painting's not ruined, but I mean, I'd be choked.
It seems like every month someone's doing something to it.
France needs to bring back the guillotine just for people like that. Yeah. And same for the people who accidentally burned on Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That made me sad. Like, I mean, granted, I saw, like, you still see the front facade of Notre Dame. That still looks nice, but they're still repairing it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what stage are they at now? It must be close to being fully done, no?
It might take a year. There's just, like, a lot of scaffolding and everything, but you still see, like, the front facade of Notre Dame. And besides, they also have the church of Sacre Coeur, which honestly might replace Notre Dame at this point.
Yeah. I saw a funny meme the other day about a guillotine. It's like, look, we invented this tool to see if rich people are made of cake.
To be fair, Marie Antoinette never actually said, let them eat cake.
No,
she never actually said that.
What was
it? I don't know. It was
I'm
like,
going
it,
to get
it was,
baked.
It was one of those things, like, it was taken out of context. Like, okay. The media made it up. Like stuff that, like, fake news is nothing new.
Yeah. I had a funny conversation with my dad the other day. He goes, oh my God, Trump. This is the only American politics we'll get into. Trump said there's going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't get elected. I was like, is that in context? That's word for word. There's going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't get elected. I was like, there has to be something else to this story.
Well, to quote Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'm not brave enough for politics.
Yeah, dude. I don't. I just thought it was quite funny to see it taken so far out of context when talking about Chinese economy.
I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, America's not the only country to have crazy politics. The whole world has them.
We are in Korea.
look at Korean politicians, you know? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, remember the
last three presidents are in jail. Or have been in jail.
Oh, my God.
Before that, committed suicide.
So oh, my God. That's the last that four for real? Presidents. Oh, my God. Yeah. That is
Park Geun-hye, Lee Myung-bak.
Moon Jae-in's not in jail.
Nomuyen.
I mean, granted, you could argue that that's because the Korean system works, but still.
Sure.
It doesn't work till after. They're out.
Moon Jae-in, the previous president, he
was on the hot seat there for a while, wasn't he?
No, he's a good dude. He runs a bookstore over, and he looks like a little Ewok. What is that?
Who was before Lee Myung-bak? It wasn't Nomuyen, it was somebody else.
Lee Myung-bak, yeah, Nomuyen.
I mean, visiting other countries kind of puts things into perspective. Like, America may be crazy, but so is the whole world, you know?
Absolutely. Everyone's got their...
No matter how developed of a country you are, it's going to be crazy, you know?
Sure. They, and it's... maybe you have the view of the country from what they show you. We've talked on here before about Korean culture versus K-culture. K-culture is like the export
version.
Well, kind of like the equivalent of, like, Kawaii culture in Japan, sort of.
Okay, yeah.
And I mean, I love Japan, but, like, they have politicians that say the Ripon and King never happened. I mean, it's crazy.
That's what gets Koreans so fired up.
But I think ethnic Koreans in Japan were treated the way African Americans were in America. I mean, they were lynched, they were enslaved. It's ridiculous.
They get a whole wild history to sort out and apologize for, which I don't know if they have.
I mean,
truly yet.
I mean, say what you will about the atomic bombs, but at least America took responsibility for it, and we helped them rebuild their country. You know.
That is one of the.
Have you been there? Have you been?
I actually haven't been. I mean, I wouldn't mind going, but I actually haven't been.
If you want, I mean, the boat to Fukuoka and then a quick
train ride. Nagasaki's close. I know Nagasaki's in Kyushu. I knew that.
Nagasaki's close, but the one in.
I would love to go to Kyushu, but I might go to Miyamoto Castle.
Hiroshima is just, man, that's one place that will stay with me forever. I went through there twice, and once there was, like, probably a 90-year-old grandma going through with her grandson, and you could just, I mean, I don't understand anything they're saying, but she was there, she experienced it, and she's passing that on and saying,
eesh,
you know, this is right or this is bullshit, whatever.
Oh,
but the good part there is that they have, like, the artifact side, and then they have, like, the documentation side. So it's not, I think a lot of museums kind of lack maybe sometimes the evidence, but they got so many physical artifacts of that, the remnants of that. And they have all the documents how many presidents signed on and how many countries were involved and all that. It's just incredible.
That's funny.
Yeah, the shadow burnt into the slate.
I've heard about that. I mean, please don't get me wrong. Like, I have absolutely nothing but prayers and sympathies for the victims, but I do feel like Japan's militaristic government was complicit in those. That's my opinion.
After they dropped the bomb, I can't remember the quote from who is their leader there?
Tojo?
No. Who is the dictator?
Oh, Tojo. It was Hideki Tojo.
Wasn't there? Who's the other guy?
Hirohito.
Hirohito. Yeah. I think after they dropped the bomb, Japan was all like, rah, 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 yeah, we're fucking, we're taking over the world. They dropped the bomb, and it was just kind of like a mic drop, and they're like, whoa, the fuck was that? That's not even, they, what do they call it, cruel? They had a quote for it. They're like, whoa, that, like, that's cruel. And they just kind of stopped and were like, all right, game's over. It was just kind of a silence after.
Nothing personal in Japan.
Yeah, personal. That's fucking. But you know, even crazier too. Have you seen the movie
Grave of the Fireflies?
No. One sec. The Fog of War.
No, I actually haven't. What's that about?
Oh, it's Robert McNamara's kind of. I don't know if it's like
the guy was like Secretary of Defense during Vietnam.
Secretary of Defense. He was the president of the Ford Motor Company. He was there during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he goes over all these things. It's wild, but he talks about. He goes, yeah, man. Everyone talks about Nagasaki and Hiroshima. He goes, but the firebombings the days leading up to that, he goes, they killed way more people.
I mean, granted, we did the same thing in Germany as well.
Sure.
Yeah,
no, it's...
Although, granted, Hiroshima and Nagasaki at least succeeded in their goals. I mean, it's horrible, but, I mean, that's war. I mean, we did this... We basically did the same... And keep in mind, I'm pretty sure the bomb was originally made for Germany. Please correct me on that, but I think it was made for Germany. But then they surrendered, of course, so might as well use it in Japan.
Yeah, fuck, it's crazy. Yeah. That is...
Cool. That was the other thing, is that it was like a... seemed like it was like a trial to see, like, how powerful it really is or how much damage...
Well, they were doing the tests and shit in the States, no?
Yeah.
That's how we got the Incredible Hulk, no?
That's funny. Yeah, the firebombs. Yeah, we're so low. I do feel like Japan's war crimes don't get talked nearly enough, though. Or at least in the West, they don't.
Well, they do here.
In Korea, they do, yes.
Sure.
Well, that's what I said in the West.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember, like, doing some research, like, after the Doolittle raid at the Pearl Harbor, like, Japan, like, killed, like, 250,000 Chinese.
Oh, it's...
That's wild. More than Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined. And it's just like a little thin on a Wikipedia thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know?
It's just like
a paragraph in a Wikipedia article.
Yeah. 250,000 dead.
Yeah. Like the chemical warfare will kill like 400,000 from year 731. It's crazy.
Yeah. It is a dark history, man. And I wonder what in the future, what we're going to be judged for doing.
Well, I mean, I will say this. I feel like if wars were fought today, and what was it? Let me rephrase that. I'm trying to think. If take the wars we fought back in like World War II. If they were reported on the way wars were reported today, we probably wouldn't have won them because there'd be all these like outrage and everything.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game now.
Yeah, like there's actually heavier standards and everything.
Absolutely, yeah. No more trench warfare.
Looking forward here, other than the stand up. Anything else you got on the schedule moving forward?
On the schedule, that's a good question. I don't have any plans next week. I would love to go to a football game if it's one on the weekend.
Soccer?
Yeah, soccer.
Okay, yeah, sorry. You had to clarify that.
Soccer. Okay, I'm American, but I'll say football.
Okay.
I highly recommend baseball games in Busan. If you like it or not,
I like baseball.
It's a cultural experience.
I like baseball.
Going to Sajik is really fun. Mm-hmm. And sounds like you'll be in Busan anyways a few times. So
awesome.
Sajik is definitely highly recommended. Cherry Blossoms coming up over here in Wuchang. So.
Shit, I wish I would have got tickets for Ohtani in Seoul there. But resale tickets were $4 million. $4 million won. The original price, 100 to 500, but 4 million resale.
The Koreans are going wild that his wife was carrying a $30 bag.
Yeah. It's amazing, from Zara. Right?
And somebody said, we should learn from this.
Yeah. He signed it. His contract's what, 700 million?
Yeah. Jeez, money doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, we're talking about Hiroshima. I was like, as horrible as that was, I do think an invasion of Japan would have been worse if the alternative.
If they invaded.
No, if America had invaded Japan during the war.
Yeah.
I do think that would have been worse. Because American soldiers probably would have been personally killing women and children.
Yeah.
Just how they're indoctrinated.
Have you ever heard of one of their... They wanted to... Shit, I don't know if this is connected to like Iwo Jima. That's where they put the...
That was Iwo Jima, yes.
There was a plan at one point in the war to paint foxes. Have you heard this?
No,
I haven't. This is only part of the story. I got to find the whole thing. But they wanted to paint foxes with glow-in-the-dark paint and release them on the shore because Japan has like part of their culture. There's something special with foxes, and they wanted to release these foxes and scare the shit out of all the soldiers. It was a Radiolab podcast. It failed because when they put the foxes in the water, all the paint came off them. But they wanted to scare the Japanese and with glow in the dark foxes. I gotta re-listen to that clearly.
Right. I mean, just the fact that they didn't surrender right after Hiroshima, that's insane to me.
Resilience.
Grit.
Yeah. I think that's what we call it these days. Grit.
I think even after they did surrender, there was still numerous attempts on the emperor's life.
Yeah.
No, it's wild. Ridiculous.
That's wild. Anyways. Dude, it's we're an hour and 40 in. I think we're going to cap this one.
Awesome. I'd love to be back sometime.
Yes.
I'd love to hang out with you guys in a different context.
Absolutely. Please, please don't be a stranger. He said, we love the new people coming here, nice. New faces, and not ones that just hang out at home. You'd like to get out,
of course,
in the,
yes.
Yeah, get out in the, welcome to the community, and that's, I hope, yeah, we're always looking for guys who can contribute and make it better. So yes. I'm glad you're into the stand-up and whatever else you get into here, but definitely a plus for the city.
Thanks for the insight. Looking forward to the stand-up. And, we'll catch up with you soon, man.
Absolutely. Thanks. Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
And are we friends on Facebook? I know I'm friends with him.
Possibly. We'll make it official after this. Awesome. Anyways, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Peace.